When Central Illinois learned that a 9-year-old boy was accused of setting a fire that killed 5 people in Goodfield, many people asked the same question. Can you charge a kid with murder when he's that age? Yes, you can, but whether you should is another matter. Woodford County State's Attorney Greg Minger says it wasn't an easy decision, but he stood by it this week as the boy made his first court appearance in Woodford County. WGLT's Ryan Denham spoke with Elizabeth Clark of the Juvenile Justice Initiative based in Evanston. She says it's a tragic case made even more shocking by the unusual charge.
It's just out of line to charge a child so young on the criminal side of the juvenile court. Completely out of line with other developed countries, completely out of line with the world consensus on what's fundamentally fair for children. This is just unheard of and shocking.
So what other options would the Woodford County State's Attorney have had?
The international consensus is that children under the age of 14 lack the mental capacity to be held criminally responsible. And that's because their brains haven't fully matured. They're still impulsive. It's just by definition, neurologically, they're not old enough to understand. I think that came through in some of the reporting with the child not understanding some of the legal terms, for example, alleged and so forth. And if they can't understand, then they can't make the kind of participate and make the legal decisions that are necessary to participate in a criminal proceeding. So it's a worldwide consensus that young children who end up in conflict with the law should be given services, not sanctions. So the court should do everything they can to look at the case individually and see what led to the issue and what can be done to restore the youth and the community to the extent possible and help everyone to move on.
So if the boy is too young for a criminal prosecution, as you've just laid out, what other options would exist for a county like Woodford County to pursue some sort of treatment or services or to put this child in some sort of different environment than they were before?
The juvenile court has always been divided into two sides. You have a child welfare side for young children and also for children who are abused and neglected. And you have another side of the court that's the delinquency or the so-called criminal side. And those two sides of the court are there for a reason, in part because you want to be able to offer protections and resources and services to young children who find themselves in some kind of trouble or difficulty. And you also want the other side of the court, the delinquency side, is for a limited form of culpability, but also rehabilitation. This kid is just too young for that kind of culpability determination, so should have entered the court through the child welfare side.
And does that side, the child welfare track, provide options for requiring psychological treatment services, those types of things?
It entails everything that the other side has. It just doesn't have the punishment. So it doesn't have the option of probation or detention, but it has all of the resources. But both sides have as many resources as the court and the community can imagine for services.
The state's attorney in this instance would have some discretion, right? It's not like the statute was forcing his hand on a murder charge, right? I mean, it sounds like from what you're saying, he did have the discretion to do something else, and he chose this route.
Yes, absolutely. Yes, and it's getting the press it is because it is such an extraordinary and unusual route to choose with a child so young.
You know, I'm a layman here. I think a lot of our listeners are not plugged into the daily machinations of juvenile justice. They don't know case history. I don't know case history necessarily. So this is unusual, right? We're not just making that up, that this is an unusual charging decision for a boy this age.
It's thankfully unusual in the U.S. It's unheard of in the rest of the developed world. I mean, shocking and unheard of in the rest of the world. But yes, absolutely unusual in the U.S. The interesting thing is the U.S. has all of the research, all of the neurological brain development research that shows that children are not capable of comprehending legal concepts, are not, their brains are not fully developed so that they can be held fully like an adult, culpable for their actions. I mean, there's a reason we don't let children under the age of 16 drive cars. We just raised the age of tobacco to 21. There's a reason that we set these higher age limits, and it's because children's brains are not fully developed yet. But we just have to recognize this in terms of culpability as well as in terms of allowing them the privileges of adulthood.
Because the maximum penalty is still only probation at this point. So I guess what is the downside of putting a 9-year-old through a process that may ultimately just lead to probation?
First of all, it's stigmatizing and it's traumatic, as well as being unnecessary. So stigmatizing and traumatic to the child, it is, you can see all of the media attention that it's getting that makes it difficult for everyone involved in the situation. But also it's just not appropriate. It gets in the way of getting the kinds of services and resources that this child and the family need in order to begin to even think about some form of healing and moving on. And that's why the world community says 14 should be the minimum age. I mean, obviously, everybody has in their head a figure where below which it would be absurd. It would be absurd to take a 2-year-old and prosecute a 2-year-old. Well, in the worldwide consensus, it's absurd to prosecute criminally a child under the age of 14. And it's not a recent development. For 30 years, the Convention on the Rights of the Child has called for a reasonable minimum age of prosecution. And that was interpreted to be 12. It's 12 in Canada, it's 12 in Mexico, and recently it was clarified that no, that's 14. It's been 14 in Germany, for example, for decades. So this is nothing new to the rest of the world grappling with this issue of, you know, where is that line drawn? It's new to Illinois because we have no minimum age. And this is really shocking because we're the home of the world's first juvenile court. So we should have grappled with this 30 years ago when the rest of the world began doing it as well.
Are there any efforts underway in Illinois to sort of better align our criminal code, our juvenile justice laws to kind of that international benchmark of 14 years old?
Yes, there are resolutions filed in the House and Cook County and the city of Chicago, all to ask our officials to look, examine the fundamental international human rights for children in conflict with the law and compare them with what we have in Illinois. And really based on this very long and proud Illinois history of being the world's first juvenile court, there was recently out of the UN a global study on deprivation of liberty of children. And it said, looking around the world, the most important achievement that has protected children all these years has been the development worldwide of children's courts. That came out of Illinois 130 years ago. I mean, it's extraordinary. We just have to make sure that our policies and practices in our courts are aligned with the rest of the world, particularly in terms of minimum age prosecution.
Killed in the April 6th fire in Goodfield were Catherine Murray, Jason Wall, Rose Allwood, Damian Wall, and Ariel Wall. Ryan Denham spoke with Elizabeth Clark of the Juvenile Justice Initiative based in Evanston. The 9-year-old boy accused of setting the fire is due back in court November 22nd.